is Jeffrey.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to a very special edition of Third Degree Burn. Why is it very special, I hear you ask? Well, that's because this episode is our 175th episode of the show.
Really?
It is, yeah. So as we press slowly towards the big 200. And to acknowledge our 175th episode of the show, we are not going to cover any John Byrne issues. No, wait, don't switch off. Instead, we're going to test the knowledge of our Third Degree Burn members with a John Byrne quiz. All the questions are compiled by yours truly, Nigel Spink, your host and quizmaster for this event. Three of our regular Burn podcast team have agreed to take up the challenge. So without further ado, let me introduce them to you. They are, in no particular order, Tim Elliott.
Hello.
Hello, Tim. And Brian Hughes.
Hi, how's it going?
And Kurt Greenfield.
Wait a minute, I didn't agree to be roasted.
They will be vying to become Burn Brain of Third Degree. And, lovely listeners, here is a chance to test your own Burn knowledge as well. It's an interactive listening experience for you too. Okay, so hello guys. Are you ready to get started and test your Burn knowledge?
Oh, sure.
Sure. Yeah. I have been doing absolutely no studying for this, so I don't have no idea how it's gonna come out.
Okay. Tim, we have been doing 10 years of study. 11 years of study next week.
It doesn't stay in my head though. It fleshes in and fleshes out.
Well, let me just give you a quick rundown of how I propose to run the quiz. So first of all, the questions I have been sort of categorized into five different titles, if you like. I'll just give you a quick rundown of what they are. We've got Burning Marvel, Early Burn, Burn's Distinguished Competition, Play It Again, John, and Burn Potluck. And with the exception of Burn Potluck, each category will have two types of question. One type of question you're probably familiar with. We've used it before. That's I ask a question. If you answer it, you get the points. If you're not sure or you don't know, you can ask for the four possible answers, of which one of them is correct. I give you the four, and then you can perhaps try and choose the answer. So for these type of questions, if you answer it immediately, you will get 3 points. If you ask for the four possible answers and you get it right, you'll get 2 points. And if you're really still stuck, I'll let you go 50-50. But then if you get it right, then you'll just get 1 point. Okay? But you're familiar with that one, with asking for the potential answers if you're not sure. The second type of question is more a case of you're either going to know it and you'll get it right, or you don't know it and you'll get it wrong. There's no answers to listen to. It's just, this is the question, what's the answer? So that's more of a test of your knowledge or your memory, however you choose to put it. I might give you a hint if you really need one on those questions, but don't expect it to help you a lot. It might just jog your memory on something. But for each hint you ask for, if you then get it right, you'll lose a point. And the point system, as I say again, it'll be 3 if you get it right first time, and it'll drop down if you need hints. Okay?
Yep.
And we're going to be answering... You're going to be answering 2 questions in each round, one of each type. And we're going to start with the burning Marvel category, simply because this one has more questions in it than the other categories. So I'll probably be going back to this one a couple of times to make up some of the other rounds.
So there's no stealing. If I don't know or get it wrong, no. Brian or Kirk can't steal my answer. Okay.
No, there's no stealing.
But the OCD may force us to do it anyway.
I decided that it might be a bit too hard to, decide who jumped in or whatever. Yeah. Okay, and I've worked out the order in which you're going to go. For the first round, Brian will answer first, Tim will answer second, Kirk will answer third. The first round, as I say, is Burning Marvel, and the first question is to you, Brian. So here we go.
All right.
The six-issue Project Pegasus saga brought John Byrne and George Perez together as the artists, sharing three issues each on the story. How many of the six-issue covers were drawn by John Byrne?
Wow. Actually, I can only visualize one of them. And that was the one that Walt Simonson inked. So that's my answer, one. Probably wrong.
Well, you don't want to hear the possible...
Hear the what?
You can hear the possible answers if you want. Otherwise, I can take that.
I'll hear the possible answers.
Okay, so this is for 2 points now. Is it one, two, three, or four?
I'm going to go ahead and say three.
No, sorry. It was two. Issue 53 and issue 56.
I just can't remember the covers.
53 was the one where the thing's squaring up against Quasar. That was the beginning of the story.
Oh, yep.
And then 56, the one where Thundra's smashing the thing towards us. Is that the one you remembered?
I'm not sure.
She's doing a Salbacima kind of smash and the thing's flying towards us.
Maybe... because I think he did other two-in-ones, and so I'm thinking of another one.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, I'll show it to you later, but that's not the one.
But it was all two, right, okay, so.
I missed that.
Ooh, all right.
I know, Tim. Not a great start.
Yeah, Tim.
Well, I would like to preface this before we get started that for our listeners, as you listen to this episode, don't let our performance at the end of this reflect on the quality of the show.
Okay, Tim, your question is, on John Byrne's first X-Men issue, which was issue 108, the corner box features the six heads of the all-new X-Men team, but only five of them are shown on the cover's action picture. Which X-Man is not on the cover?
On the cover or on the corner box?
On the cover. The action cover picture. Which X-Man is not on the cover?
I'm trying to think of what that...
It was like a giant... It was like a giant robotic hand attacking the X-Men, and so they're all scattered around this hand in various positions. Mr. Peevely. Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you this for the. Hey, don't give me hints, Kirk. Let me ask this: if I guess and I get it wrong, I don't then get to go for the multiple choice.
No, you've either got to tell me that you're going for your answer and what it is, or you ask me for the possible answers.
Okay. I'm going to go for broke and I'm going to guess. The person that's not on the cover, and this is an absolute guess, is Thunderbird. That's my guess.
He was dead. Okay. So he's not going to be on the cover.
I told you I can't remember what the cover was.
Oh, dear. Anybody know that? Just as a matter of interest? Who was it? Who's missing from the cover?
Is it Wolverine?
It is, yeah. Yeah. All right, then. So two blanks. Kirk, chance to go in front here.
See ya.
Oh, you might like this one, actually. I don't know. Are you ready?
Yes. Just remember, I'll send you that payment later on.
After Henry Peter Jirich announces the Avengers core seven members in issue 181 of the Avengers, most of the other gathered Avengers and heroes leave the mansion. As they leave, Wonder Man notes to himself that one of the members didn't even say goodbye. Which departing Avenger was this?
I'm going to ask for a couple of options.
The answers. Yeah, the answers. Okay. Was it Hercules or Yellow Jacket or Black Panther or Moondragon?
Moondragon.
Final answer?
Yep.
Correct for 2 points. Well done.
Hacking Jocasta because she took off, or maybe that was the later issue when they did that.
I was thinking that Wonder Man wouldn't really care about Hercules or the others, but for some reason, his comment about a female, for some reason, I'm serious, that just
well, I mean, immediately. It's Moondragon. I mean, come on, she's a stuck up. Oh, she was. Yeah.
Right. Well, she's a bit arrogant, so.
A bit, yeah, that's right, yeah. So,
do I get a bonus round now? A bonus question?
No.
Or should we just end this now with me in the lead?
So, let's go on to your second question in this category. Now, these are the single answer questions, so there's no possible answers now. It's either get it right, get it wrong. I can give you a hint, maybe, depending on what it is, but that's all you're going to get. Brian?
All right.
And again, 3 points if you get it straight off. Who was the antagonist in the last issue of The Avengers to be drawn by Byrne in his late 70s run on the title?
The Grey Gargoyle.
Is that your final answer?
Yep.
Correct for 3 points.
Ready.
Well done. Tim. The X-Men had a hard time before escaping Arcade's murder world in the X-Men issues 123 and 124. Who were Arcade's victims in his first ever appearance?
Was it Spider-Man and Captain Britain?
Is that your answer?
Yes.
Correct.
Oh.
Yes, well done.
All right, well, at least it's not going to be a shutout.
Okay, Kirk, and your single answer question? Alpha Flight's member, Marina, was hatched from an egg found in the sea by Thomas Smallwood and adopted by his family. What alien species was Marina actually a member of?
It's the Plonix, or the green eggs that I don't know the name, but
Well, so give me an answer.
The plotting.
Correct. Plodex, yeah, that's right. Well done.
I don't know why I know that.
There you go.
Because you just read them.
That's yeah. Probably why.
That's true, yeah.
Oh, you know what I should have done? I should have just grabbed my trade paperback right here.
Put that down. Put that down. That's why we got the cam. That's why we got the cameras on. I'm watching you. Yeah.
I'm not cameras. Looking on my phone at all.
Yeah. Okay.
Hands up here. Hands up here.
First round over, and Kirk storms off into the lead with 5 points.
Uh-oh.
Wow.
Closely followed by Brian and Tim together on 3. Right, round 2 is early Byrne. So as you can probably imagine, it's all about earlier stuff that he did. And in this round, Tim goes first. So Tim, your question. How many issues of Wheelie and the Chopper Bunch did Byrne draw? This is a possible answers question again
okay,
as
okay,
well.
Okay, okay. Give me the multiple choice.
1, 2, 3, or 4.
I could have told you that was coming.
I knew that was coming. I'm going to say 3.
Well, why did you say it then?
Yeah.
It was like, I know it's not 1, because I think he did more
than
one.
It was close. It was two.
I almost did two.
It was two. Ooh, okay. Kirk, again, this is the four possible answers in case you worried about the question. Which issue of Charlton's Space 1999 was drawn and written by John Byrne?
The best one.
Maybe.
Is that your final answer?
Which issue?
Which issue of Charlton's Space 1999?
So do you want an issue number? Is that what
yes,
you're looking for?
Yes, yes.
Oh, crap. I can't give you that. I can only say it's the one where Commander Koenig is, you know, dying of asphyxiation on the cover.
Well, do you want to hear the possible answers?
Or... Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Was it issue 3, 4, 5, or 6?
5.
Final answer?
Yep.
No, it was 6.
Oh, I was close.
Did you know that?
I knew
right?
It was the last one. I just didn't know what the issue number was.
Okay. Yeah, that's where I was going for it. Isn't he on the cover because you can't reach his helmet? Isn't that it?
Well, he's in space and he's floating and his helmet's floated off his, yeah.
All right, yeah. Oh, dear, right. Early burn is too early for these guys at the moment. Brian. Chance to get back into the game here. Which two issues of Doomsday Plus One were, according to a reliable source, heavily rewritten by John Byrne?
I want to say 5 and 6, but if you want to give me the possible answers, I'll...
Well, it's up to you. If I give you those, you lose a point.
I'm just going to say 5 and 6.
You're going for it?
Yeah.
Okay. No. Sorry. It was 4 and 6.
4 and 6. Okay.
4 and 6. Ooh. Okay. So we all drew a blank on that round. Well, sorry, not that round. That first question. Now, early burn, straightforward single answers. Tim. Listen carefully. This is quite a long intro, as it were. In Marvel Team-Up 55, Byrne draws Spider-Man on the moon, where he encounters Adam Warlock, the Stranger, and the extraterrestrial Gardener. What other title, also drawn by Byrne, did the conclusion of this issue connect with?
So that what issue was the follow-up to this story? Is that what you're asking me?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, well, in a way, yes, but it's a different title. This was Marvel Team Up 55. But as I said, what other title, also drawn by Byrne, did the conclusion of this issue, Marvel Team Up 55, connect with?
I can guess a title. I can't guess a number, so I can't guess the issue. Well, so
no, it doesn't matter about the number so much. What's the title?
I think this is wrong, but Fantastic Four.
No. Anybody?
It was Champions, wasn't it?
It was, yeah, Champions.
You're following Bill Mantlo around. His storylines went to whatever book that he went to work on, whether it was. Champions, and Spectacular remember, Spider-Man.
In Marvel Team Up 55, you got the Stranger who creates that kind of strange bomb, and then that goes over into the Champions.
Yeah.
Okay. Struck out, Tim, on that round. Kirk.
Yes.
John Byrne first had the opportunity to draw Tigra in issue number 6 of which Marvel title?
Marvel Chillers?
Yes. Well done.
Yeah.
Kirk Never read. Don't have it.
Right. Kirk Storm in here. Three more points. And Brian. The events of Iron Fist number 3 take Daniel Rand to which country?
I don't remember off the top of my head, so I'm going to say Tibet.
Final answer.
Final answer.
way out.
Wow.
My old home country, UK, Britain. Oh. Yeah.
That's the reason why I started doing the Iron Fist thing for the show, because I want to read him again.
And the reason I didn't want us to do too many of those is because of this quiz. Not till we got this quiz out of the way.
Got me curious on the collection.
Okay, so they're the early Burnham questions for this round. That's the end of round two, a very lean round in which just 3 points scored by Kirk, which puts him ahead even further.
Dang, it's crazy.
Kirk is kind of killing us.
And Kirk's run away as well. Kirk's killing you. Kirk on 8, and you two are still back on 3. So, Kirk, you're up first for round 3.
And you're in the lead.
And you're in the lead, yeah. And this is Burn's Distinguished Competition. So you can probably guess what that means. The questions are going to be about DC work. Yeah. And first of all, your 4 possible answer question. Here we go. For 3 points first. In Superman number 2, who is the computer scientist hired by Lex Luthor to discover the identity of Superman?
I have a guess, but I'm going to ask for the multiple choice offers.
Right. Is it Amanda Chappell, or Amanda Kirk, or Amanda McCoy, or Amanda Scott?
Okay, so they're all Amandas, but give me the names one more time.
Chappell, Kirk, McCoy, Scott.
Scott. Final answer.
No.
Sorry. It wasn't my issue. I checked.
It's McCoy. Amanda McCoy.
I like how you played with the other names in that.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, so Kirk's finally hit the buffers. Right. Brian.
All right.
Your first question in this round. John Byrne's cover to Batman 401 features which villain?
Magpie, final answer.
Correct for 3 points. Whoa. Brian, coming up fast on the rails now. And Tim, your question, the first type of question. Who is Floyd Lawton, also known as?
Sounds familiar. I'm going to have to go for the multiple.
The 4 answers. Okay. Is it Deadshot, Captain Boomerang, Pied Piper, or the Weather Wizard?
Gosh, you know that used to be a lot of Flash. I'm going to guess the Weather Wizard.
Final answer?
Well, from your expression in your face, I assume that's wrong, but that's my final answer, yes.
Okay. Yeah, it's Deadshot.
I almost went with Deadshot, but I couldn't think that did not sound right.
Always go with your first instinct. It's usually the right one.
It's just because...
What was the name? Deadshot.
Floyd Lawton.
Mm. Yeah, because I don't remember that's his name. That's Will Smith, right? From the...
Yeah.
I
should have said Will Smith. You'd have got it.
Well, I don't remember that being his name in the movie is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Right. I think they said it once.
Yeah. Second question in this round then. Kirk first. What was Byrne's first published work for DC?
A comic book.
You deserve to have one taken away for that smart-ass answer.
Yeah. Birch published work. Well, it wouldn't have been Batman, because I know that he hates Batman detective stories. He hates writing them. So what would he have drawn that wouldn't have been terribly prominent?
Brian knows. I can tell by the look on his face.
Yeah, I can see it too. He's smirking. I really don't know, so I'm going to guess Captain Carrot.
No. Would you believe it's the untold legend of Batman? That's why they were all
smoking. I would not believe that.
Talk yourself out of it.
Yeah. Okay, so, first round to give Kirk a bad time there.
Yeah, I tell you, this game is going to give me a migraine.
Brian, talking of which, it's your question.
Yeah.
Okay, when Wonder Woman dies in the John Byrne run, Hera honors her with the title Goddess of what? It's
been at least 5 years since I read this. Peace?
Sorry?
Peace? What are my options?
You don't have any for this type of question.
Oh. Okay, I'll say Goddess of Peace and leave it at that. Final answer.
No.
Okay.
Truth.
Truth. That would guess like love or something like that.
That was Hestia. Come on.
Okay, and Tim. Yeah, Tim. Last chance to score something in this round, Tim. Superman first met Amazing Grace when he was transported to Apocalypse by Darkseid during the Legends storyline. Where, as in a location, did he later meet her again?
My mind's a blank. I can't think of, but I don't know. I know I can't get it.
You can have a hint if you want. It may or may not help.
I didn't know you could have hints.
Yes, well, I said one. That earlier.
Yeah. But yeah, give me a hint, because I can't. It's nothing jogging my memory.
They're not necessarily going to help you much, and you lose a point if you get it right. A hint, then. Okay. Well, Superman was there too.
Well, obviously he was there because he was meeting her for the second time.
Yes.
Never mind.
I would just think. Go on.
I don't. I can't. I'm. Just tell me. I can't think of.
No.
Yeah. Is it? I can't think of the name. I'm drawn. Absolutely drawn a blank. Okay. My DC knowledge is not as good as my Marvel.
Give in.
I give in. Yeah. I don't know.
Olympus.
Okay. That's not what I was thinking. But
Action Comics 600.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because she was faking as Wonder Woman. Yeah. She was faking as Wonder Woman.
Yes.
And Superman was faking as Kalibak was faking
as Superman. Yes, Superman, that's right. And they were chasing him around the Olympus, yeah. Okay, so that's the end of round three.
What's the score now?
Score's on the doors now, then. Kirk has 8. Ryan coming up now with 6.
And I have 3.
And Tim, you're back on 3.
So Nigel, what would the hint have been for me?
Sorry?
What would the hint have been for you?
What was your question? Oh yeah. Untold legend of the Batman. I would have probably said something like it wasn't Superman. for the first hint.
Yeah, my hint, I have no would have been on that either. I definitely should have asked for that.
Yeah. Yep. Don't forget you can have a hint. It might not be a very good one, but you can have a hint. For round 4, we're going back to Burning Marvel. Okay, so you might like this a bit more. Let me just...
Who goes first?
We're back to Brian first again. Back to Burning Marvel, Brian. So your first question is the possible answers question, if you can't get it straight away.
All right.
Ready?
Yep.
Okay, Brian's question. The cover of Hulk 314 depicts the green behemoth surrounded by the leader, the abomination, the rhino, and which other two deadly villains?
The leader, the rhino, and who? I mean, rephrase the question.
Yeah. The Hulk 314 is surrounded by the leader, the abomination, the rhino, and which two other deadly villains?
Give me give me the options.
Right. Juggernaut and Absorbing Man. Absorbing Man and MODOK. MODOK and Juggernaut. Or Absorbing Man and Bi-Beast.
MODOK and Juggernaut.
Right.
Final answer?
Correct. Yeah, final answer.
Yep. Correct for 2 points.
I thought that was it, but I just had to be sure.
Yeah. I'd say it's best to play safe if you're not quite sure.
Yep.
Tim, let's see if you can. Don't be afraid to use those possible answers.
Kid me. I'm starting phoning
not
a friend.
Quite sure. Yeah. Fantastic Four issues number 211 to 214 saw the dramatic conclusion to the Galactus Sphinx clash and the aging of three of the FF members. As well as the interior art, Byrne drew three of the four covers. Which artist did the cover of 212?
I think I know, but I'm going to play it safe and give me my options.
Okay. Was it Pollard, Simonson, Perez, or Wilson?
I think Perez.
Final answer?
Final answer.
No, I'm afraid not. Simonson. Okay. Kirk.
I'm here.
Yep. In X-Men 113, as the mutants battle Magneto, which member of the team manages to remove Magneto's helmet?
Well, they're in the volcano, as I recall, and they're underground and they're assailing him from all different sides, working as a team. So it's a team effort. But there's one that actually gets it off. May I ask for the multiple choice options?
You may, for 2 points then. Banshee, Colossus, Nightcrawler, or Storm?
Ah, that doesn't solve it because I was...
you were thinking of one of the others.
I'm going to say Nightcrawler.
Correct, yeah, for 2 points.
It was between Colossus and a fastball special.
Yeah, you were thinking Wolverine, maybe. Yeah. Right. So now the second question, which is the straightforward answer. Brian. With Fantastic Four 263 and 264, John Byrne gives the Thing and the Torch a buddy adventure, which takes them to Wonderworld, a theme land run by a reclusive person called Alden Mars. Ben and Johnny team up with the Mole Man to save Earth from Alden Mars's wacky plan. But what was the significance of the antagonist's name?
Wow. I'm going to need a hint.
Yeah. So what was the significance of the antagonist's name? Somebody famous in comics.
I have no clue whatsoever. So what's the answer?
Do you want another hint or are you
give me the hint.
Okay.
That was it.
It's an anagram.
Well, it's not Jim Shooter.
Any ideas? Yeah. Can't give you too long, else you can work it out. But
No.
Okay.
That was
Alden Mars is an anagram of Neil Adams.
Oh. Mm.
I thought you'd have known that one.
No, I never caught on to it.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, there
so
you
I was
go.
Thinking Walt Disney for some reason, because it made sense. Well,
yeah,
he's
supposed to be a very Walt Disney guy.
It's like a Disneyland, yeah. No, that was the one. Okay, Tim.
These are great questions. This is very well done. Thank you.
Tim.
Flattery will get you everywhere.
So this is your... straightforward answer and possible hints. Yeah.
Okay.
At the trial of Namor in Name of the Submariner 13, which Avenger is classed as ineligible to testify and why?
Geez, this is the burn run, and Kirk and I have covered this, and I have my brain is absolutely not retained anything.
At the trial of Namor, which Avenger is classed as ineligible.
And which Avenger? Wait a minute, which person or which Avenger, isn't it?
No, which Avenger is classed as ineligible to testify?
Well, I'm gonna take a guess here. Even without the hint, I'm going to say it's Cap because they fought together in the war.
You're partly right. It is Cap.
Can I get 1 point for that?
Yeah. I'm just waiting to see if you can give me anything else. Otherwise, yeah, 1 point for Captain America.
Well, I can't think of other than the fact that they fought together during World War II and he may be biased. I can't.
Well, the reason given is that because if you're going to testify, you've got to give your real name.
Oh,
and
he doesn't want to
give his name of Steve Rogers, so he can't. They won't let him testify. So
I was going to say it was Thor because he was a god and
Thor did testify
in front of Tim. He could have seen that and gone with Thor and been wrong.
Yeah, well, I saw Kirk doing the math. Well, it's like Spider-Man trying to cash the check, you know.
Yeah. You get a point. Got a point for Captain America.
Well, there. I would have thought. Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong, but I thought at that point the world knew he was who he was.
Yeah, but didn't he go through? There was a story where he presumably died, and he kind of pretended to be somebody else. Yeah. Mm.
Okay. I'll take the 1 point.
Yep. Okay. And Kirk, your next one, single answer question. In the Avengers 313, written by John Byrne, which two members of the Axe of Vengeance Prime Movers attack Avengers HQ?
Okay. Again, this is Avengers 313 during the Axe of Vengeance. Which are the Prime Movers? And I assume you mean of the original six?
Yes, which two attack Avengers HQ?
Okay. Well, we can work this out. It's not Loki because he's the Prime and not one of the six. It's not the Red Skull because he's buried. Magneto, bearing him, has left the team. That leaves four. So it's either going to be the Wizard or Mandarin. It's not Kingpin. And who's the other? I'm going to go with Mandarin and Wizard. That's what you want. You want two people.
Right? I want two people, yeah.
Okay, that's what I'm going.
Final answer?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mandarin and Wizard. Correct. Yep, correct.
There you go, Kirk, man. You're on a roll.
He's whizzing away there. Yeah, whizzing away.
Don't be impressed. There are big blank spots, as you can see, that go right over my head.
DC, for example.
Who was the last person that I couldn't think of in the cabal of the six? Can anybody recall them? I mean, Wizard, Mandarin, Kingpin, Magneto.
Doom. You've got it now. Magneto was the other one that you.
Yeah, Doom was not part of that, was he?
Yes, he was. Well, his robot was.
He went after the Punisher.
To put those on one side, because we will be going back to those again, I think, later. But that's the end of round four. Okay, so I'm just totting up here what the scores are after four rounds. The scores after four rounds, Kirk is ahead on 12.
Wow.
Followed by Brian on 8 and Tim on 7.
No, I don't have 7. I have 4. I've only answered 2.
No,
credit.
I've got you with 2. I've got you with, sorry, No, I've got you
You
with
got partial
two.
credit on Captain America.
Yeah, I've got you
I'll
with
take it.
two. I've got you with two full answers, and then the one for Captain America. Yeah,
Okay,
just
I'll
yep.
accept the Quizmaster's
Take
math.
it. Yeah, take it. Right, round five of the John Byrne quiz is Play It Again, John. The reason for the title being, these are instances where Byrne has used something in a story that he did, which has probably been used or shown before sometime in a past story. And so
Yes.
it's something that's coming up again or something similar, which is why
So
it's
is it,
play.
are you saying that it's his creation that he's bringing back again, or just something from the Marvel Universe that he's
It
drafting in?
could be either. It could be either,
Okay.
but
Okay.
he's bringing something back that we have seen or experienced before in another story. It
Okay.
might have been his story. It could have been an older one. Yeah, I believe Tim, it's your turn to go first.
Okay.
And the first question, of course, is the one with the possible answers, right?
Answers.
Here we go. In which issue of Byrne's Fantastic Four run did he bring back the Thing's blue costume and helmet, first seen in Fantastic Four number three?
I'm about to go for my options on this one.
Okay. Was it issues 238, 239, 240, or 241?
I can't. It's a guess. 241.
No.
Terror in a Tiny Town, isn't
No.
No.
It was 239, by the way, the answer to that particular question. Yeah. But Terror in a Tiny Town was 236.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to answer.
Was 239 ego?
No, 239 is the answer to the question. So that's
Yeah, I'm
where
just trying to remember what that issue was, though.
the Thing's blue costume and helmet. It's the one with Aunt Petunia.
Oh, okay.
Wendy's friends.
Wendy's friends, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, Kirk.
I'm here.
Here we go. During Byrne's run on Sensational She-Hulk, how many times did She-Hulk's antagonists want to make her their wife?
How many, you're asking for the number of times?
Number of times that one or other of her antagonists asked her to be their wife.
Okay.
Or one, or should I say, wanted to make her their wife.
Got it. I'm going to say twice.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
No.
Okay.
No.
I should have asked the multiple
You
options.
should have, yeah. Although you still
What
would
are the
have got
multiple
you, you
options?
st the multiple options were two, three, four, five.
Yeah, see, would have
It's
helped.
four.
Four.
Wow.
Who are they?
Four. Okay.
Okay, we got
Xemnu the Titan. Mole Man.
Mole Man.
Machismo. Machismo. And the Emperor of Dimension Z.
Jesus, I wouldn't have gotten that one.
Yeah, that's that. Yeah, no one would have got
Well,
that
you didn't have to tell me who it was, but just get the
Yeah.
number right. But yeah, you know the one with the living eraser.
Yeah.
And when he erases them, they go to his dimension and his emperor. Well, apparently all their females look like She-Hulk. And so he wanted her for his wife.
Very
Okay.
logical.
Right, Brian.
All righty.
A cutaway picture of the Baxter Building's top five floors first appeared in Fantastic Four number three. In which issue of Byrne's run did he again show the top five floors in cutaway?
Man, that's tough.
Do you want your options?
Yes, please.
Yep. Was it issue 242, 245, 246, or 249?
I'm going to say 246.
Final answer?
Final answer.
No.
Oh. I love how you do that.
What was it?
249. Man and Superman.
Man and Superman, yeah.
But earlier on, before the story really gets going, they show you a cutaway version of the top five floors again. Yeah. Ooh. These questions are killing them today.
Yep.
Right, so they were the choices questions, possible answers, should I say. Now it's the straightforward right or wrong answer. And it's Tim to go first again, yeah? Okay, Tim, come on, steel yourself. During World War II, the original Human Torch, Jim Hammond, saved the life of Jacqueline Falsworth Crichton by giving her a blood transfusion, which gave her the powers to become Spitfire. In which burn title was this scenario repeated?
Oh, that's, I know that it's Namor.
Yes. Namor, right. Full title?
Namor the Submariner?
That'll do. Yeah. 3 points.
Wasn't it also done in She-Hulk?
I don't know. And the first to score in this round, Tim.
All right.
So far, well done.
Oh, it wasn't that process, but the Golden Age character was de-aged. The Blonde Phantom was de-aged.
Okay, who's next? Kirk. What do Byrne's covers of Fantastic Four 264 and X-Men The Hidden Years number 20 have in common?
Yeah, they're both covers with Marvel comic characters. And you want just a single answer, right?
I want something more than that. Yeah, more than the obvious. They all have colors and characters. Yeah. Byrne's covers for Fantastic Four 264 and X-Men The Hidden Years 20.
We haven't gotten to that one yet.
Have in common.
Well, can I have a hint?
Not really.
Okay. Well, it's either going to be something like they have a very similar layout or they feature the same character for some reason. The Hidden Years is coming to a conclusion. It's coming to the end. So he's got to sync it up with probably Magneto and wherever the EFF were going. 264. I'm trying to think what that cover looks like. Do you mind if, excuse me just a second while I flip over here and look at what the cover of
264 No. That'll give...
You can't do that?
That's cheating, Kirk. Come on.
Say that. He never said that we couldn't use research or we couldn't go someplace.
That's pretty obvious that you're not going to be able to.
Okay, I'm going to say that the cover is split into four, or you have different activities for each one of the characters.
No. Good try. Okay. You were on the right lines, but yeah. They both pay homage to Fantastic Four number one. They've got the big monster coming up out of the floor.
Can't see like, it, Tim.
Okay.
They're both copies, if you like, of FF or homages to FF1.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. I should have guessed that had I dialed this up in my database correctly. And I didn't. I went for 246.
Ah, well.
Got a 264. That's my dad.
Right. I see. Right. Okay. So, now, Brian, chance to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
Here you go. When Byrne returned to Sensational She-Hulk, he brought back an unusual antagonist who had originally appeared in Journey into Mystery 68, before even Marvel's introduction of the Mighty Thor. Who was this villain that rocked Jen's world?
Bong? I honestly, I don't know.
Mm.
You're really stumping me today, and you know, maybe it's just, you know, senility or something else is getting me, but no, I've got no clue whatsoever.
Okay. So, well, there was one hint in the sort of pre-question, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
Originally appeared in Journey into Mystery 68. So that's before Thor even appeared for the first time.
Brian, I can give you a clue.
So it's an old villain. And, yeah.
It's not ringing the bell. I mean, Fing Tang Foom.
No,
I don't know. I mean, it's just that I keep thinking of Bong, the guy with the bell head.
Mm.
But
oh, I see. Mm.
Yeah, and then there's what, Zenru the Titan? No, no, I don't know.
No,
no. Sorry.
Okay.
Can I steal?
Go on. Well, you can tell us. You're not going to get anything for it.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to suggest that Brian lean forward into the camera so that we could see the shape of his forehead and head and see if that didn't look like Sprague the Hill. Sprague
the Living Hill.
No, I would never have gotten that. Nope.
No?
Not in a million years.
Okay. Right. So at the end of that round... Brian is still on 8. Tim is now on 10.
Oh, no.
Coming up fast. And Kirk remains on 12, so it's tightening up. It's tightening up.
So there's still a chance.
Just remember, I've been trying to help you guys.
There's still a chance. Okay, as we go into round 6. So, Kirk, you'll be starting this time. And we're going back to Burning Marvel again.
Yes. Yeah?
Okay. Kirk likes the Burning Marvel. In which issue of the original Ohotmu, official Handbook of the Marvel Universe, did Byrne draw his most characters?
Why would anyone know this?
Unless somebody went back and counted them.
Well, yeah, I mean,
me.
Honestly, why would anybody know this? So I'm going, you know, obviously I don't have
Byrne a clue.
I don't own it. I don't read it. There's no way for me to answer this, so I'm going to ask for some assistance.
You want the possible answers, okay.
Yes.
And then you'll guess. Moms. Right.
Ready for it? It's going to be 2, 3,
are
four.
You ready? No. Was it issue 5, 7, 9, or 11? And just for the record, his most characters in one of these issues was 6. He did 6 characters in that issue. Issue 5, 7, 9, or 11.
Okay. And if can I have this pared down? I've got a 1 in 4 chance of getting it right now.
So but you want to go 50? So you want to go 50-50 for 1 point? Okay.
Yes.
I'll take away 2 of the incorrect answers. So was it issue 7 or issue 9?
It was 9.
Sorry, it was 7.
I was going to guess 7.
Ooh.
Is that the one with Mr. Fantastic in it?
I guess it would be round about that time. 7,
that's
yes,
why I was trying to think FF characters, because he would have drawn all those.
Okay. So, Brian, your question. Oh, it's She-Hulk again for Brian.
Someone's trying to torture me.
In Sensational She-Hulk, one of Jen's best friends is the ex-superheroine, the Blonde Phantom. Jen calls her Wheezy, but what is Wheezy's full name?
Well, I'm assuming Louise, and I want to say Mountbatten, but that doesn't...
Well, you've got your... It's a possible answers question, this.
Okay, so please give me
You can listen to the four answers if you like. Yeah.
All right, let's listen to the four.
For 2 points. Is it Louise Grant Mason, Wendy Mason, Lois Mason Grant, or Louise Jill Mason?
I'm going to go with the first one.
Louise Grant Mason?
Yes.
Correct for 2 points.
Good for you, Brian.
About time.
Yeah, back on the scoreboard. Tim.
Yes.
Avengers West Coast number 55. Acts of Vengeance. How many Avengers confront Loki after the villains have been exposed?
How many? I don't need to give you how names, many, just how many?
Yeah, how many Avengers confront Loki?
Jeez, we've covered this.
No, that's not right, Kirk.
I'm going to ask for my options.
Okay.
But you're going to be like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, similar. 7, 8, 9, or 10?
7.
Final answer?
Final answer.
No, not enough. Yeah. 9.
Wow. I would have 9. Said 7 also.
Uh-huh. Don't forget, both Avengers East teams West were involved.
There.
So you've got a mixture of both, yeah. Okay. So Brian pulling himself back into it a little bit there. But this is the second question coming up now. Kirk, I believe it's you. Here we go then, your second question here. X-Men, The Hidden Years, number 16.
Oh, God. Oh, I mean, go ahead.
X-Men, The Hidden Years, number 16, has our mutant heroes encounter two characters who had appeared in another John Byrne run, which had concluded the month before this issue of X-Men, The Hidden Years was released. What was the title of the other run?
Okay, so we're looking for...
Do you want that again?
Characters. Let me make sure that I understand.
No, no, you're not looking for two characters. Let me read it again.
Yeah.
X-Men The Hidden Years number 16 has our mutant heroes encounter two characters who had appeared in another John Byrne run, which had concluded the month before this issue of X-Men The Hidden Years was released. What's the title of the other run?
So you want a single answer?
It's a title of a comic.
Okay. And may I have a hint?
Yeah, it involved time travel.
It involved time travel. You're saying that in year 16 involved time travel?
No. The answer involves time travel.
Okay. I understand now. You want the name of the series that had just come to a conclusion in the month before.
Yes.
So it's Marvel the Lost Generation.
Yeah, correct. That's it. That's all you need.
Man. Okay.
It was Marvel's Lost. It was Marvel's Lost Generation. Yes, that's right.
I was going to go with Iron Man, Power Man, Iron Fist.
Okay. Well done. Okay. Brian.
All right.
Which group of misfit villains were out to get She-Hulk in the first story of Sensational She-Hulk?
first issue. The Ringmaster and the Circus of Crime? And is this multiple choice or is this just a hint?
No, this is just...
No, I'm going to say Ringmaster and Circus of Crime. Final answer.
No.
Nope.
Is it the Toadmen?
No.
I thought it was the Toadmen.
Which group of misfit villains? Group. The Headmen.
Oh.
The Headmen.
That's right.
They were after her body for Chandu.
That was in the first issue?
That was in the first three issues. The story ran through three issues.
Okay.
Well, it's all revealed.
The Ringmaster and the Circus of Crime were in the story. But it was the Headmen that was after Jen. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So I was right, but wrong.
Yeah. And Tim.
All right.
Okay. In Marvel Team-Up 69, the Beast makes a brief appearance. He takes a call from Lorna Dane, and then he heads off in a Quinjet. Where would we next see the Beast? As in, which issue?
The issue he shows up in again would be... The Avengers?
You looking for an issue number or a title?
Should be an issue number.
You want an issue number.
Ideally, I want issue number, but the title will go with it. I hope.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah. I can't give you an issue number. I mean, I'm going to guess the Avengers, but I can't. Mm-hmm. I can't guess a title or issue number. So that's my guess. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'll go with.
Oh, okay.
You know,
ask for again.
I didn't want to say that, but Kirk's just said it. So you can if you want.
What? Yeah. Ask for a hint? He just said ask.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh no! And I don't know what I don't know. I mean, like I said, I'm trying to think where he would go next. And at that point, I can't remember if he was an Avenger or it would have been the X-Men. I don't know.
Okay, it was. Well, the answer is X-Men. 111. X-Men 111.
Oh, say I'm getting my times mixed up as to when that, yeah. You know, what was taking place.
He shows up at the carnival where they've all been mesmerized by Mesmero. Yeah. Burning Marvel strikes again. Let's have a look at that then now. Brian now has 10.
Still.
Tim still has... No, Tim has 10 now as well. Still. And Kirk has 14.
God, you'd think he'd know what he was doing.
Kirk's storming away here as we move on to round 7, which is Burn Pot Luck. Now, for this round, you are going to choose the question you answer. And it's the type of question that doesn't have four possible answers. It's either get it right or get it wrong. Okay?
But we get to pick the category.
The category is burn pot luck.
Oh.
And it's pot luck because you are going to choose the question.
Okay.
Give me a number, and it'll be Brian going first. Give me a number between 1 and 12, Brian.
7.
Okay, this is your first question. In 1995, John Byrne wrote a story for DC entitled Fall from Grace. Which well-known comic character was the protagonist of this story?
Fall from Grace. 95. Did he draw it as one?
No.
It's DC.
You can have a hint if you want.
Yeah, I definitely would like a hint.
Okay. It's not a DC character.
What?
It's not a DC character.
Is it Thor? Final answer.
Is that your answer?
Yeah.
Thor. No. No.
No. Who was it?
Judge Dredd.
Oh.
Judge Dredd.
For some reason,
that's the issue you covered, right, Nigel?
That's no.
Yeah. For some reason, I thought it was a DC comic.
The one I covered is the one he drew.
Yeah.
He wrote this one for DC.
He wrote it for DC.
Yeah. The only artwork he did for this particular run, there was a run of about 13 issues, and he drew 3 covers, I think. But he wrote this story.
Okay, that one. I mean, that's why I said Thor, because Thor is pretty much not necessarily a DC character, but he showed up in the New Gods.
All right.
And so,
I didn't know that. Right, Tim, give us a number between 1 and 12, but not 7.
Oh, okay. 3.
3. In issue number 3 of Trio, the aquatic fishman known as Nautilus controls a giant sea creature called Leviathan. By what name do the humans refer to this creature?
I've not read Trio, so...
I thought you...
No, I own it, but I have not read it.
Do you want a hint? I'll try and give you...
Yeah, you give me a hint, because I'm going to take a guess anyway. So, this fish guy calls him Leviathan, but what the fish humans
guy
call...
Yeah, the fish guy called Nautilus calls... Well, the giant sea creature is called Leviathan. But the humans in the story refer to it by a different name. And I will say, I'll give you a hint that it's a creature you're familiar with.
What is it? What is the name? I can't think of it. I'm going to say Gigantor. I know that's not right.
No,
that's not right. Is it? Okay, that was my guess, so I know I'm wrong.
Okay.
Is it the name? Is it the creature from Namor that he summons? Whatever that thing's called.
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay.
The Kraken.
They refer to it as Godzilla Jr.
Oh.
I was going to guess Godzilla.
Godzilla Jr. Yeah. Right, Kirk.
Hello.
Number between 1 and 12, please.
4.
Sorry, 4? All right. How many issues of Jim Lee's X-Men did Byrne work on as writer-scripter?
And you want us? I'd like a hint.
Okay. It's a single figure.
Right.
I've told you they might not be that much good.
Right. Ask the question again, please.
How many issues of Jim Lee's X-Men did Byrne work on as writer scripter?
All right. I'm going to say 3.
Close. 2.
Okay.
Ooh. All right. Brian, give me another number.
1.
During Byrne's writing on Iron Man, which was 258 to 277, which 1950s Marvel monster was featured?
Bing, bang, boom.
Correct for 3 points. Tim?
12.
You're not going to like me here, I don't think.
If it's another Trio question, I'm not going to like
you. No, but I was going to say, if you've not read Trio, you probably haven't read this either. What is the name of the Sentinel-like robots that attack Triple Helix in issues 2, 3, and 4 of that title?
Sentient? The names of the sentient robots?
No, the name of the Sentinel-like robots.
Oh.
Sentinel-like.
I haven't read that, but I'm going to take a guess. No one Byrne likes to play with things. Gort. G-O-R-T. Gort.
Yeah. No.
Okay. Somebody else want to guess? I got it wrong. Anybody
know?
Guess?
Anybody
you
know?
Guys want to guess?
No idea.
No.
Yeah, I have a hint.
No. Well, so you might.
Is that your question, Kirk? Just guess.
Yes. Well, I'll just tell you. Monitors.
Oh.
Oh.
That makes sense.
Okay, Kirk, another number, please.
Another number. Wow.
Between 11. Okay. Which John Byrne title had a cliffhanger ending in 1994 that was not followed up on until 2010?
Read the question once more, please.
Yeah. Which John Byrne title had a cliffhanger ending in 1994 that was not followed up on until 2010?
And my hint is?
Well, I can give you a hint. It's not Marvel.
Okay, John Byrne's Next Men.
Correct. For 2 points. Okay, let's go around one more time with this. Another number, Brian?
Two,
okay. In 2008, Byrne's work for IDW included a 5-issue publication called Star Trek Crew that focused mainly on which Star Trek character?
Number one.
Sorry?
Number one.
Correct. Tim, another one, please.
Has anybody picked eight?
No, eight is three.
Okay, I will take eight.
Byrne returned to Action Comics in 2005 to team his pencils with the stories from which writer?
Is it Gail Simone?
It was. Well done. Yes, it was indeed Gail Simone. Well done. And finally, Kirk. Again, another number.
10.
10. Which Byrne character, who originally appeared in Danger Unlimited, makes a return appearance in Trio?
I'd like a hint.
He's a Nazi.
I'm watching you, Brian. Go ahead. Give me the clue.
Ah. But I want to take a shot at it before, after you bow out.
Nazi. Captain Schmidt. I have no idea.
No.
Is it Golgotha?
It was, yeah. Golgotha, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So at the end of that round, whoa, would you believe?
How would you have pantomimed that if you were trying to give that one to me?
All I would have done was showing you the Gamordian cross, you know.
Brian has 16, Tim has 13, and Kirk has 16.
All right.
A tie for first place as Brian came steaming back with 6 points there in that round.
Wow.
Round 8. It's back to Burning Marvel again.
Oh, good.
Okay, round 8. Tim, I believe it's you to start.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. So let's have a look. In Avengers 233, Earth's mightiest heroes come up against a null field emanating outwards into Manhattan from the Baxter Building. In their attempts to penetrate the barrier, what is the first object that they succeed in passing through the barrier?
This multiple choice, you right?
Okay. Was it Captain Marvel in her form of gamma rays, Captain America's shield, the Vision, or Mjolnir, Thor's hammer?
There's two good options in there. I'm going to say Captain Marvel.
Final answer?
Yes.
No.
Is it Thor's hammer?
Thor's hammer.
I was going to pick that, but that made more sense. It made more sense
Didn't
for Captain Marvel.
Didn't it lose all momentum when it went through?
Yeah, it goes through and just goes plop. Yeah, that's right. Kirk, I believe it's you. Right, let's see. And Brian, don't say anything. The mid-1970s saw Byrne as penciler on Marvel Team-Up. He worked on 17 issues of the title during that period. How many of those issues were inked by Terry Austin?
And this is a multiple choice option?
Yeah.
Okay. I'd like to hear those multiple choices.
And you know what your choice is likely to be. 1, 2, 3, or 4.
Okay. Can you take
two away for one point? Okay. Was it 1 or 2?
2.
I'm afraid it was 1.
Okay.
The one with Red Sonja.
Yes, the very last one. Yeah.
That one I just picked up. Yeah.
And that's why I said don't say anything.
Yeah.
You've already shown us the cover. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Brian.
All right.
This one's a quite a long question, so listen carefully.
Okay.
Volume 2 of John Byrne's Amazing Spider-Man introduced an alternate world where Flash Thompson and his partner Spider-Man were the greatest heroes. This turned out to be an elaborate illusion by Mysterio to try and learn Spidey's secret identity. But in Flash's perfect world, in inverted commas, there were three characters who had died in Spider-Man's true past. Who were these three? So three characters who appeared in Flash's perfect world, which was not real.
Right.
But they were originally, they'd originally been in Spider-Man, but they were all dead now.
Okay, I'm going to say Uncle Ben, Gwen Stacy, and Ned Leeds.
Do you want that to be your final answer, or would you like to hear the alternatives?
No, just make that the final answer.
Okay, you say it again. Uncle Ben?
Uncle Ben, Gwen Stacy, and Ned Leeds.
No.
Who did I get wrong?
You missed on one.
Harry Osborn?
No.
Aunt May?
No.
No, she was alive then. So it had to be Norman Osborn.
No.
No, who was it?
Captain Stacy.
Oh!
Oh.
So it was Uncle Ben.
Uncle Ben,
Gwen,
Captain Stacy is the answer. Yeah.
Damn. Yeah, Ned was the one that was kind of odd man out, and I could understand why he'd leave that one out. Yeah. No. Okay. Well, I wouldn't have gotten that.
Okay. So it's back to Kirk. Let's see, where are we?
So Tim, did you get your answer?
Oh, actually,
no.
Actually,
we all missed that.
We all missed.
Actually,
yeah.
No, sorry, I forgot. We're going to the other question now, which is the not the multiple choice answers,
gotcha.
Right? Yeah, and it's Kirk. Ready?
Yeah.
In Fantastic Four, number 274, what action takes place which will cause lasting problems in the life of Peter Parker?
Oh man, that's a softball.
And no looking at that thing. And no singing. No looking at that. No looking at your smartphone or anything.
So, repeat the question, will you?
Yeah. In Fantastic Four 274, what action takes place which will cause lasting problems in the life of Peter Parker?
Can you give me a hint, please? I don't have a clue.
It's something to do with the Baxter Building.
Oh. Are we talking about the black costume, the alien symbiote escaping from the Baxter Building?
Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah.
Yes, correct. The symbiote is released. Yeah.
Can you see this part of my temple that was pulsing there?
2 points, because you had.
I didn't get that. What was the thing with the?
My temple was pulsing the entire time, waiting for you to answer that. Mm-hmm.
275 was the pinup, right? The green She-Hulk pinup.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Tim.
Yes.
Your question. Who sends Dragon Man to attack Captain America in issue 248 of Captain America title?
What a softball.
That's what you're telling me. Your last question was a softball.
No, it wasn't.
And this is not the multiple choice. This get it right, get it wrong.
Get it right, get it wrong.
I'm 100% sure this is wrong, but I'm going to say the wizard.
No. Yeah, you're right. It's wrong. Yeah.
The machine smith, wasn't it?
Machine smith. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Okay, Brian.
All right.
Alpha Flight 12 and One Shall Surely Die carried a cover date of July 1984. Burn also featured Alpha Flight members on the cover of another title for July of 1984. What was the title?
Was it Ron? Final answer?
You telling me? Yeah, yes, it was. Correct. Yeah.
Cool.
It was Ron. Issue 56. And that is the end of the round. The final scores are...
I think Brian might have pulled ahead.
Tim has 13.
Yeah, he did. What does Tim have?
13. Kirk finished on 18, but the winner is Brian on 19. Well done, all right. Brian.
Check out the big brain on...
Brian, you've managed to earn the brain of... Reign of Burn, third degree. Well done.
I got to tell you, Nigel, that was one of the toughest trivia quizzes I've gotten in a long time.
That was hard.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting that Nigel came up with these questions, but he hasn't been grilled himself.
Well,
that's one of the privileges of being the quiz master.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
One of us could always put together, you know.
It was just that when we did that other quiz that time, that kind of inspired me, and I thought, I'll do a Burn quiz because I like making quizzes. So,
And the thing is, before this started, I was looking up things like his birthday, July 6th, where he was born, West Bromwich.
Well, it's funny you should say that because I'd actually got that ready as an absolute tiebreaker if we finished up not being able to separate two of you.
Yeah.
So you might have won that one anyway. But there is a question that I didn't use because I thought, really, it might be a bit hard. So if you want, just have a go at this just for the sake of it.
Good Lord. Let's just move on to Final Jeopardy. The category is...
Comic book department.
In 1979... Byrne and Layton drew the first appearance of the new Ant-Man in Marvel Premiere 47 and 48. Marvel Premiere was a bi-monthly at that time. So which months were the cover dates for those two issues? It is a multiple choice answer question.
We would need the multiple choices.
For that one.
Which 2 months were the cover dates for the two issues? I'll give you the choices. February and April, March and May, April and June, or June and August?
April and June. That's just a guess.
I'd say June and August.
Kirk?
I don't have a clue.
I just have a guess.
Sorry, I wasn't listening. I'll take one of the others that they didn't choose.
Oh, okay. I'll give you March and May, yeah? Mm. But Tim, you got it. April and June.
All right.
April and June.
All right, I get 10 points for that, right? And that puts me in the lead.
Quiz is over. Brian's been nominated the winner.
Do I get a Marvel no prize?
Yeah. We'll send you a no prize in the post. Don't wait too long for it. Don't hold your breath. I've got another part that we never used, but just try this if you want to test you. Byrne created or co-created quite a few different characters in his time, yeah?
Yeah.
So I've got the names of some of the characters here. If I give you the name, their real name, can you give me their hero or villain? Their hero or villain name, yeah?
We'll give it a shot.
Okay. Fritz von Meyer. Fritz von Meyer.
Is that Mighty Man or... No.
Gay guy?
Swarm.
Gay guy? Oh, Swarm?
Who said Swarm? Yeah, Tim.
Tim did.
I said Swarm.
Yeah, that's right. Swarm. One to Tim. Isabel St. Ives. Isabel St. Ives.
Is that Headhunter?
No.
No.
No, Kirk, that sounds familiar from our Namor coverage, but I can't think.
I was going to say the...
Yeah, go on, Kirk.
In Superman, who was Magpie? Oh.
No. I'm surprised you're not getting this. It's from Alpha Flight.
Oh.
What's the name again?
Isabel St. Ives.
St. Ives. Isabel St. Ives?
It's like Gilead Lily, is it?
No.
St.
Ives, Deadly Earnest, that story.
The chick with Nemesis? Nemesis. The one with the sword.
Dominic Petros. Dominic Petros.
It's got to be from Next Men. I mean, Next Men. I just don't know where.
No.
I'm wrong. I'm out.
Brotherhood. Brotherhood of Evil Mutants.
Oh.
What's the name again?
Dominic Petros.
Dominic?
Yeah.
So it's a male?
Yeah.
The Brotherhood?
Well, Dominic's a female name, right?
Oh, wait a minute. Avalanche.
It's a male. Yes, Avalanche, yeah.
I was going to say Avalanche.
Yeah, but Kirk said it first. Yeah, yeah, that's right. Siobhan McDougal.
Okay, that's Silver Banshee.
It is, yeah. Well done. Kyle Gibney.
Kyle?
Did you say Kyle?
Kyle Gibney.
Gibney or Dibney?
Gibney. Well, I suppose it could be pronounced Gibney, but it's a G.
It's a G, not a D.
Yeah, Kyle Gibney or Gibney.
No idea.
Anybody?
Everybody nodded no.
No? Amiga Fly?
So, is that Wild Child?
It is, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Robert Dubois.
Oh.
He sounds French.
It's not. Robert Dubois or Dubois.
Is it DC or Marvel?
It's DC.
It's DC.
Oh,
he didn't create a lot for DC, did he?
Was that one of the characters in Blood of the Demon?
No.
No.
It's not Metallo, is it?
No.
No. That's Corbin.
Clue. He had a brother.
Oh, Bloodsport?
Yes. No. Oh, okay. That's right. Oh, yeah. Man.
Bloodsport, yeah. Ashley Crawford. Crawford.
That's not the little girl from Elsewhere, is it? That can control metal.
I wondered about that too.
I got.
But she doesn't have a code name.
Oh,
that's true.
How about a clue?
Well, she could be mistaken for Pink Pearl.
Big Bertha.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. I knew that. I knew that same time. I was going to think who it was.
Craig Hollis.
Mr. Immortal.
Yes. Yeah. Oh! Yep. Well done. Martha Franklin.
Wasn't there an alternative title, Martha Washington Goes to War?
That's Frank Miller. That's Frank Miller.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Give me liberty.
Martha Franklin.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't.
Nope.
Yep.
It's towards the end of the 90s.
So, Marvel?
Yeah.
So probably a Spider-Man character. Spider-Woman.
Mayday.
Yeah.
Mayday.
Yeah.
Spider-Woman. Matty Franklin, yeah, Spider-Woman. Mm.
Oh.
And the final one, Damar Davis.
I don't even recognize that one.
Is he Rage?
No, Damar Davis.
Where did you dig these folks up?
That's why it's called trivia.
Now I just spend a lot of time on the internet.
Actually, no, you're usually looking through the comics, but... Yeah. Great Lakes Avengers.
Oh.
What? Yes, yeah, Doorman.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And they actually had Doorman. Him on the Wonder Man show.
Yeah, but probably nothing like the real Doorman then, if it's anything like
that. No, but the concept was there.
Yeah.
Oh. It was interesting.
Oh, well, so Brian got four there as well. You won that one as well. Brian got four, Tim got three, Kurt got two. And one went missing. Well done. And that's it, really. Yeah.
Excellent.
Just about drained me of all the questions. Yeah. Do you want some more DC questions, Kirk? Yeah, save those for something else. Yeah. All right. So.
Yeah, I think after all this time, it is time to wrap things up.
Yes. So
I'd like to thank you, Nigel, for putting together that quiz. You really stumped us. I'm going to have to go take some Advil now. calm my head down. If you guys would like to let us know how we're doing, please write us somehow, some way, whether it be on our Facebook page, on any of the posts where you see the post for the latest episode, you can respond in there. Just let us know what you think. Or you can email us at gottagetburned@gmail.com. And if you're really behind the times, you can go out on Apple Podcasts, formerly iTunes, and give us a 5-star review there. That's pretty much everything, isn't it? Anybody have any last thoughts or anything before we go? I bet you there was not one person out there that got every answer. I mean, if we couldn't get every answer, there's not one listener out there that got every answer. Now, if you did, let us know. We want to know. Okay. let us know one way or the other. So for the great Nigel Spink, thank you so much.
Please.
For Kurt Greenfield and for Tim Elliott, I'm Brian Hughes. This is Third Degree Burn. Have a great week.
You lost. And let me tell you what you didn't win. A 20-volume set of the Encyclopedia International, a case of turtle wax, and a year's supply of Rice-A-Roni, the San Francisco treat. But that's not all. You also made yourself look like a jerk in front of millions of people. And you brought shame and disgrace on your family name for generations to come. You don't get to come back tomorrow. You don't even get a lousy copy of our home game. You're a complete loser.
Don't know what I was thinking of. I guess I just wasn't too bright. Well, I sure hope I do better next weekend on The Price is Right.
Thanks for listening. You can find us and many other great shows at tutufreaks.com. That's TWOTRUEFREAKS.com. Third Degree Burn is spelled with the number 3, RDDEGREEBYRNE, and is part of the Tutu Freaks network of shows. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just look for Third Degree Burn, spelled with the number 3, and Burn spelled BYRNE. Compliments, complaints, and recipes can be sent to gottagetburned@gmail.com. That's gottagetburned@gmail.com. Drop us a line and tell us how we're doing. Till next time, this has been Third Degree Burn.
Some men aren't looking for anything logical, like money. They can't be bought, bullied, reasoned, or negotiated with. Some men just want to watch the world burn.